Alright, so this is Javon with DubCNN.com, and it's not often that I get the pleasure to really sit down and talk to a legend in the game, and so I have that pleasure right now. It is legendary Richie Rich. What's going on, man? How you doing?
What's good? What's good with you, man? I'm just hanging, man. Sitting back in the studio laughing, you know?
Okay. So, now you said studio, so you know I got to ask you. I got to get it out right there. So I've heard you on, you know, a song here and there over the years, but you've been out of the game for, in terms of full projects for, you know, I think a little over 9 years or something like that. So where you been, man? What's fill in the gaps. What have you been up to?
Man, I've been off the ships, but I've been in the game. You know what I'm talking about?
Gotcha. Okay. I forget what year that was, 2002, I think. Yeah, I think so.
Since then, I kind of stalled, laid back for a second, because I was raising my daughter, man, my first kid, you know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
And when I was on death jail, my baby, she was young, you know what I'm talking about? So she couldn't really hear what daddy was talking about. As she started getting a little older, you know, it started coming to my attention, like, okay, daddy be going real greasy on this mic, you know what I'm talking about?
Haha, yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to tank the baby with all the game and all the pimping and all the bullshit, you know what I'm talking about?
Gotcha.
So I kind of, that was my first initial reason for kind of bagging up a little bit. Plus, at that time, I was a little bitter with music, you know what I mean? Not music itself, but just, you know, some of my shortcomings and, you know, as long as a nigga been in the game, you know, a lot of things, you know, happening for guys who are just jumping in it, you know. Part of me was like, damn, maybe this shit really ain't for me, you dig?
Yeah.
So I kind of stalled music out. I never stopped making music. I kind of just stopped releasing music, you know what I'm talking about?
I hear you, exactly. Now,
so then when I, go for it.
No, go ahead, man, keep going.
Oh, yes. So when I finally sat back and got over that, and, you know, I was trying to figure a way to, you know, probably get a little slicker with my pen where I could still get to the people without, you know, like I said, having my daughter look at a nigga in a different light.
Uh-huh.
When I finally got back on my horse, the hyphy movement was the thing that was moving around here.
Okay.
And the hyphy, I don't do the hyphy. I had to wait that out. I waited that out. I went on and I watched a lot of guys do it. You know what I'm talking about? I watched a lot of guys, you know, switch hit and pinch hit and all the shit.
No. Okay.
But I couldn't go there with it, my guys. Just the way I was raised, I just couldn't go there with it. Like I said, I don't knock the movement. It's just something that Rich couldn't do. You know what I'm talking about?
I hear you.
So yeah, what I was doing and all that time, I still was recording music though. You know what I mean? Still always recording music. You know, I own a studio, me and one of my business partners. So the music was always happening, but I just wasn't releasing no music. Feel me?
Gotcha. Okay, now, one of the things you mentioned was Def Jam, when you were on Def Jam. Now, I remember when I heard that you had signed to Def Jam. And it just, I mean, obviously Def Jam, legendary label, all that stuff. But it did, I was unsure about the fit. What was that experience like at Def Jam? Was it a regretful decision to sign to them? Or just was it, you know, what was it like during that time?
Def Jam shit was a good look, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And it was a great look. I mean, I had choices to go to, like, I could go to Def Jam. I had Relativity barking at the time.
Right.
So everybody was throwing stuff at the plate that was decent, you know what I mean? Because I was just coming off that Hot 5 on reverse.
Yeah.
And the shit I had deal with Tupac on the Heavy and the Game joint. So labels was talking good. But my thing was when they said, when Def Jam came into play, I already knew that's where I wanted to be. I mean, this is Russell Simmons. We talking Def Jam. You know what I'm talking about?
Gotcha.
But the Def Jam was a good look. As the first record we put together, you know what I mean? We kind of got to where we were, you know, worried about if they could market me, seeing I was from the West Coast and that was an East Coast label.
Yeah.
I mean, they put that first record together. We released it. Did some pretty solid numbers, right around 400,000, something like that. You know what I mean? And it was a good look. So we loaded up for that second album, and then that's when that merger, the Polygram merger came into play, where they was about to
Gotcha. Okay, I remember that.
Yeah, so when they was about to sell the company, what happened was Russell and Lior actually called a meeting with me and my team and let us know that the label was up for sale and they weren't sure, you know, who was going to be running the joint. But they was basically giving us an option, letting me know, you can hang around if you want to. If not, you can dip. You know, if you want to dip, what we'll do is we'll release you and we'll give you your record and we'll let you walk with some money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there like, okay, damn, you know, I wanted to stay at the label, but when they said they're selling it and they don't know who's going to be running the joint, I had kind of got bonded with the people I was fucking with. I want to fuck with Def Jam because of Russell, because of Leo.
Right.
But me and my team, we looked at it, we looked at the paper offer, we looked at the them giving us the record, we opted to the role. But what happened is, when the sale of the company went through, they came at Lior and told him they would like to pay him to run the company, but he would have to fire all of his employees. They wanted to keep him on board.
Right.
Lior was like, that's a no-go. He was like, man, if they go, I go. He's the people that made me. So I'm not fixing to just trim the fat and fuck with y'all like that. I guess they were so blown away by the fact he was a stand-up dude. They was like, well, fuck it. We'll pay you and your staff, and y'all just run the joint. Now, had I known that, I would have stayed around that thing. You feel me?
Yeah, I feel you.
But no, all my shit at Def Jam was a good look. I don't have no quarrels with the label, man. They did everything top notch. Everything that I did when I was fucking with them, I mean, just the way they roll in general is solid. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
But what happened was it was a bad career decision, I guess, on my part, because my manager had made it seem like we could be out of there and into somewhere else quickly, but that didn't happen either.
Okay. Okay. Well, yeah, that clears it up, because obviously when you can't speak to an artist directly and you're on the other side and you just start speculating and thinking, well, maybe it was a bad marriage, but that clears a lot up right there.
Right.
Now, I know the in terms of new projects and new business situations and all that, Town Business is the name of the mixtape, but is it also the name of the upcoming album too, or is that different?
Is actually the movement. That's what we named the mixtape.
Okay.
And we got a volume one, volume two, and a volume three.
Okay.
So it's 12 songs on each album, and it's slated to be released 9 days apart from each other.
Nice. Okay.
You feel me? So this was designed, and we called it a mixtape. But if you listen to this shit, it's not a mixtape, because it's really a street album. You feel me?
Okay.
The reason I called it a mixtape is because, like I said, I have been off the surface for so long, where mixtapes had finally made it from the East Coast to the West Coast. Now, people doing mixtapes out here, so I was like, fuck it, let's just call this motherfucker a mixtape and drop some music. Because what I was planning to do, I had put together a collage of 40 songs. I was like, fuck it, I'm going to put a double album together, and I'm going to give this motherfucker away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Press 10,000 of them up, and I'm just going to give them away. This is for motherfuckers who've been holding niggas down for so long. You know what I mean? And damn, you're like an apologetic record. Like, here goes some motherfucking music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, one of my buddies who runs my digital, all my digital catalogs told me that's too much music to bang at one time. He's like, why don't you break that motherfucker up? Put it in three different records. He said, put about 12, 13 joints from each one. And he said, because people, they run through music so fast now. He's like, man, just drop something every 90 days, because that's the new policy. You got to stay at them.
True.
What we decided to do. So this is just the first installment of three, which is actually a good record, man. And then the record that comes behind it, in my opinion, is an even hotter record. And then volume three is an even hotter record. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I designed it. Now, these are not the Richie Rich albums. They are albums, but I'm calling them street records. Now, my Grammy shit, my big shit, I've been recording since. I've been dropping this shit, which is new production, but I've been working with guys, and I finally developed a sound. Because, you know, I used to just stay going hard on a bitch. That used to be my main focus. On whenever I rapped about bras, I was going hard.
Yeah.
I finally moved it out a little bit. I found that I got an angle where I can tap it to chicks, and I don't have to cut them down, you know what I mean? And the song still be hot.
Gotcha.
So I've been working on, like, perfecting my craft, and now I got a collage of music that I'm calling the Repercussion, and that's what I'm building to be the Rich record, the actual that joint. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But what's cool is people is feeling the shit that I got out now.
It's a tough decision, right?
What those three records are designed to do is to kind of catch me up from where I left off. Because see, where I stopped at, I can't just come out now and be spitting from where I feel I really should be, because I missed some spots. So those three records are to fill in those gaps. And then from there, wow, it's 2010 and the new movement. You know what I'm talking about?
Gotcha. So in terms of what you're doing, you're doing all this stuff independent, and you've seen both sides of the fence, working with a major and doing things on an independent level. So talk about how technology helps you to kind of get your movement up and running and to get exposure to so many new fans.
It's lovely now, because you got Twitter, you got the Facebook, you got the MySpace. And then you got the Ustream, you know, and then you got all the hot hip hop sites, the World Star Hip Hop, and different avenues where you can get these records and your videos shown. Of course, you got YouTube, you know, and music videos don't cost what they used to cost. So you can get your visual and your music to the people without the aid of a label. Now, you may not have that power to push the way a label does. But in the situation that I'm in, I'm building up to another situation, whether it be a stronger independent situation or a solid label situation. But with all these tools I got, I can just get to my people and let them know that, hey, the kid is still around, I'm still doing it, I'm moving me. And you couldn't do that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you was on the label, you'd have to wait on them and all the shit. So what I've been doing, man, is basically I've been streaming this new rich movement, just funneling it through the streets. I'm doing a grassroots hustle back. I mean, I could have put these records out and shot big, tried to come out, you know, labeled up and all the shit out the gate. But that ain't the way I wanted to do this. I'm taking it back to how when I first got started. It was a grassroots hustle. We pressed the shit up. We drove around with the shit in the trunk. We hit the moms and pops off ourselves. We ran the shit, you know what I mean, the best we could to get the buzz going, to get the people talking. It's like firing up a dope spot. You know, you get the good dope out there, and everybody can't get it, but the people who do get it, they gonna talk about it. So that's gonna make people ask about it and wonder about it. You know what I mean? And then, as the shit matures, you know, then the people, the doors that I would have usually had to go knock on to be like, hey, this is what I'm doing. I need your help in doing that. They'll be knocking at my door. You know what I'm talking about?
Gotcha.
And that's just the way we're running it. We're running a grassroots hustle with these town business albums. And right now, I mean, they spread like wildfires. You dig?
Now, speaking of, we're going to try to help it spread a little more. So as we close out, man, let people know some of the sites that they can go to where they can get, you know, the Town Business Volumes 1 and 2, and then where they can go to get this new Richie Rich product, man.
Yeah, you can find it. It's all available on iTunes and a lot of those other sites. I don't know the names of them, but they got a million of them where they sell music online, because I got a digital deal that puts the music at all those websites, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But you can get them from RapBay.com also. If you're a store, you know what I'm talking about, and you want to order units, you can order from RapBay. And their website is www.rapbay.com. You can also find the music, like I said, on iTunes and Amazon.com and all those type of joints. You know what I mean? You can check up on me on my Twitter at the Real Double R. The spelling is TheRealDubbler. I got the official Richie Rich fan page on Facebook, and then my MySpace is MySpace.com/RichieRichOnline.com.
Okay.
I mean, you can also order the record through any of those three web joints that I just turned you on that are addressed to me. You feel me? Except the Twitter joint.
Okay, for sure. Well, that's for sure. We're going to have to catch up, because we're going to have to do a part two and a part three of this, because we're going to get deeper into the history of Richie Rich next time, man.
Oh, good, my nigga. Let me know whenever you need me. I'm around this motherfucker.
That's what's up.